So very good to see all of you here this morning. As I'm looking out in the audience, I see we do have quite a few people that are visiting with us. It is so good to have you here. We hope that you feel welcome here at the Lindo Church of Christ. And we hope you feel so welcome that whenever you're here in the area again, hopefully you'll come back and worship God together with us again and study with us from the Word of God whenever you are able and willing to. For the last several weeks, I have been doing a series of lessons from the book of Ephesians. So if you do not have a copy of the sermon outline, if you just be taking your Bible now, I'm going to turn into the book of Ephesians. Again, the majority of our text from the sermon this morning comes from that particular book. For the last several weeks, we have been studying exactly what the church is from the book of Ephesians, how it is God's eternal purpose. Before God ever created the world, he understood that mankind was going to sin, that it was going to take Christ crucified and the gospel for man to be able to be forgiven of his sin. And that those who would respond to the calling of the gospel, they would constitute and make up what we call in the body of Christ, in the church, or the kingdom, is called in Ephesians. This kingdom, this church, this body, is what it's all about. In our lesson last week, we were looking at these metaphors of the church, the kingdom, the body. And we were trying to come to understand exactly Jesus' role and position in the church, but also come to understand our role and what it means to be a member of the church, a citizen of the kingdom, a member of the family of God. What we're going to be doing in a sermon here, we're going to close out this series of studies because you cannot study the church in Ephesians without studying now that you are a citizen in the kingdom, a brother or a sister in the family. Now that you are a Christian, a child of God, with a spiritual inheritance that you're looking forward to, a citizen who enjoys all the spiritual blessings in Christ, how are you going to live as a citizen of the kingdom, as a child of God in the family of God? It's put this way in Ephesians 4:1, the answer. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. There's a calling to be a child of God, to be a citizen of the kingdom. And when you respond to this calling and you are members of the body of Christ, you are expected to have a lifestyle change to where now you are walking worthy. Walking worthy of the calling of being a Christian. As you go through the book of Ephesians, you will see the word walk, this verb used many, many times. Walking worthy of our calling. Walking as children of light. Walking circumspectly. Walking in love. Walking in darkness. Whenever you see that verb walk, what it is talking about is your lifestyle. When you speak of walking, walking is a continual process, one step after the other. Walking worthy means a lifestyle. The way in which you are going to live moment by moment, day by day, from this point forward, because you are a Christian. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 25 through 27, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. In the text here in verse 25, he talks about how Christ gave himself for the church. Jesus understood where we were. God understood we were going to sin before he ever created us. And they understood what it was going to take for us to be able to be saved. God in the flesh was going to have to die for our sins. Christ crucified. Jesus gave himself for a reason, so that he might sanctify us. Now let's just stop right there and talk about this word sanctify. The idea of sanctify is to separate, to set apart. And the idea is all mankind is lost. All mankind is separated from God in sin. Jesus died and gave himself so that he could set us apart from those that are lost. But it is more than just being separated and set apart. It is set apart and sanctified for holy purposes and service to God walking worthy of your calling. He talks about how he might cleanse her. That is the church. How? By the washing of water, by the word. Remember back in John 17:17, where Jesus said, sanctify them through your word is truth. The separating from the darkness, the separating from the world, the separating from those that are lost takes place by the word of God that is able to do the separating process. Those who receive the word of God into their heart, it produces faith. It is the faith that is, we confess, it is the faith that leads to repentance. It is the faith that leads to the washing of water, baptism. And when baptism takes place, the culminating act of becoming a child of God, you are saved. You are sanctified. You are separated from all that is lost now for holy purposes in service to God. Continuing in that same text, he says, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now notice these phrases stacked one on top of another. The whole point of this is that Jesus sanctified us by his sacrifice and through the word and obeying the gospel. But this is what his ultimate goal is for us. That in judgment day, when we, the body of Christ, the church, stand before God, we can be presented to God a glorious church. No spot whatsoever, no wrinkle, totally holy and without blemish. That is why it's so important that you be a member of the church in Christ. Because if you are not a member of the body in Christ, then you still have your sins on your soul separating you from God. You are still among the lost. You have not been separated from the lost. You are among them. And if you die in that condition, you will be forever lost. Judgment Day is coming. It is real. It's not a fantasy. It's not make-believe. When you stand before God, you want to be holy and without blemish. And the only way this can be done is through the power of the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for you. In the book of Ephesians, numerous times you'll see this word saint. For instance, chapter 4, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How many of you realize a saint is someone who is sanctified? The word saint comes from the word sanctify. It is a sanctified person. Whenever you become a child of God, and you are separated, you are a saint. You are a sanctified person. Set apart for holy purposes and service to God. That is the walk that we are to be walking worthy of. That is the living of Christianity. In the book of Ephesians, it is described primarily two ways. One of the ways in which this walking worthy of our calling is described is dealing with the metaphors of darkness and light. And the second one is the idea of the putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man. So in the remainder of our sermon here this morning, we're going to be studying from the book of Ephesians what is involved in walking worthy of our calling from these two metaphors. The first one, as I told you, is beginning now in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 17 through 19. He says, this is I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Now, here again, we're seeing the verb walk and how they were walking. They were walking in the futility of their mind. But notice verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Notice again the stacking of the phrases. This is something Paul loves to do here in the book of Ephesians. And that is to stack the clauses and the phrases one on top of another to make his point. They have their understanding darkened. because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. This is where the Gentiles were in their past life and the way in which they were walking. They didn't have understanding. They were ignorant. They were blind. And the end result in verse 19, who being past feeding have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. This again is a lifestyle. This is the way they walked, and this is why they walked that way. They walked in all kinds of immorality here because they just didn't understand. They were ignorant. They were blind in their heart. It's put this way in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. How many of you have ever been in total darkness? I have once. It was in Carlsbad's cabin. I remember as a young boy we were out there and they turned off all the lights. You could put your hand in front of your nose and couldn't see it. Could you imagine trying to walk in that? You're not going to go very far without going, ooh, what was that? Oh, what was that? Have you ever even tried to walk in your own room and it's really dark and you go, ow? You're stumbling and you don't know what you're stumbling because you can't see it. When Jesus back here in Ephesians, speaking to the Apostle Paul, speaks of individuals who have their understanding darkened, and the ignorance that is in them, the blindness of their hearts, what he's talking about is they just don't understand. They can't see. They don't understand where they came from. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't understand the truth of life. And as a consequence of that, here it is, stumbling right and left. They're messing up. They're bumping into things. They're falling. They're ruining their lives. And they don't even know why. You see, it is the Word of God that sanctifies us. It is the Word of God, the truth, that is our light, that shows us where we came from. It is the Word of God that I can shine all the way up into Judgment Day, into heaven itself. It is the Word of God that I can see who I am and where I am. It is the Word of God that shows me where to go in all of my life. Without the light, you are in darkness. You are ignorant. You are without understanding. And as a consequence of that scenario and situation, you're stumbling. You don't even know what you're stumbling on. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What an awesome verse. Again, at the very beginning of this verse, he's trying to help us understand what we are. Understand where you are as children of God, as Christians. You're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, special people. Where you were, though, one time you were in darkness. There was a time, again, when all of us were out there in ignorance and darkness. But what he's done, he's called us out of darkness. What he called us with, again, is the truth of the gospel. Where he's called us to is into his marvelous light, to where we can be saved, to where we can see where we are, where we're going. It's put this way in the Colossians letter in chapter 1 and 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. All of us, before we obeyed the gospel, we were spiritually dead. We were lost. We were under the sway of Satan and the power of darkness. Again, the way in which the Lord called us is by the gospel. Those who hear the word and respond to the calling of the gospel and let it into their heart and produce faith, in the end, what they end up being is children of God, Christians, who are citizens in the kingdom of the Son of His love. Going back to Ephesians now, he explains the end result of this when he says in verse 8 through 11, For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And let's stop right there. Okay, as we've already pointed out, we were all at one time in darkness. He called us by the gospel. We responded to the gospel. Now we're in the kingdom of the Son of His love. And now He says, you walk as children of light. He explains what he means by that in verse 9. When he talks about how the way in which you're going to be walking, you're going to be walking in goodness, you're going to be walking in righteousness, you're going to be walking in truth. It comes back to the truth. It comes back to the Word of God that helps you distinguish between what is right and wrong, that gives you guidance to the way to go, how to live. It's the Word of God that helps you understand what is good. You follow the light of the Scriptures in how you do everything that you do. Whenever you're following the Word of God, you are walking in the light. When you are following the Word of God, you are walking worthy of your calling. When you are following the Word of God, you are walking in love. This is how you do it. He goes on further in that same text, and he says in verse 11, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We learned earlier about how the Gentiles at one time in their life, in their ignorance and their blindness, were walking in all kinds of lewdness and sins. Now he says, you have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Please understand the degree of separation and why these metaphors are being used. Darkness and light are totally opposite. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. Do not think that you can keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and that is the way the Lord wants you to walk. He wants you to separate yourself totally from the world, to come out from among them, and to now walk worthy of your calling and have no fellowship. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. I fear sometimes that Christians try to see how close they can get to the world without falling in. When you think that way, you've already compromised. Have no fellowship. Abstain from it. Turn from it. Don't touch it. And he says in the last part of the verse, but rather expose them. He continues in verse 13 and explains further when he says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. One of the first things I did when I came in the building this morning was I turned on the light so I could see where I was going and expose the building. It shows me what's here. As I told you earlier in Carlsbad Cavern, they turned out all the lights and it was total darkness. And I remember the guy, he got one match and struck one match and it lit up the whole cavern. It was amazing to show you the power of light. It exposed everything that was there. If you are going to walk as children of light, letting the Word of God and the truth control your life, walking in the light, you need to realize you are going to be exposing people who are in darkness. I'll explain to you what I mean. There are going to be times in your life that if you're actually going to be a Christian, walking worthy of your calling, that there are going to be people who are not going to like you. And it's not because of what you're doing that's wrong. It's because of what you're doing that's right. There are people in the world who are going to be walking in darkness. The truth of the matter is, the majority of the world is walking in darkness. If you're someone who is going to be a Christian, and you say, you know, I don't use those drugs because I'm a Christian, look out. Here comes pressure. Or I don't drink that alcohol because I'm a Christian. Look out. Here comes the pressure. You see, you can say, oh, I don't drink alcohol because I'm an athlete. Okay, well, I'll let that go. Or I don't drink alcohol because I'm concerned about my health. Okay, we'll let that go. But if you say, I don't drink alcohol because I'm a Christian. Look out. Because what you just did is by speaking the truth and living the truth, you just exposed the sin that is in their life. And there's one or two things they're going to do whenever they see the sin that's in their life because you're letting your light shine. They're either going to see the sin and change, or they're going to try to turn out the light and attack the light. If you're going to let your light shine, there's going to be people who are not going to like you. They don't want to be around you because you will not walk in darkness with them. Light and darkness do not go together. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Never be ashamed of any of the teachings of our Savior. Never be ashamed of the truth of the Word of God. To live it or let other people know what it says. You see, not only are we using the light of the Word of God to try to help us see our way to heaven through Christ, we're trying to shine the light for other people to see. Don't you realize you're in darkness? You're lost. You're in sin. You're in darkness. See where you are. See the way to God through Christ. And as you show the light out there and shine to people, guess what? There will be some people in darkness who will see the truth and respond to the truth. You've got to be willing to let the light shine, not put it under a bushel. Let it out there. Let it shine. Because as I said, it's not only us that are trying to see the way to heaven. We're trying to care enough about the people that are lost back there in darkness to share the light with them. Some of them will attack you because you have the audacity to do that. But others will thank you because they too will receive the truth of the Word of God into their own heart. And they will have their own faith and confess their own faith and walk by their own faith and be baptized by their own faith and be saved by that and be sanctified and no longer be in the power of darkness. Now let's continue and look at the other metaphor that is describing our sanctification and walking worthy. In Ephesians, the second one is over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. But you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here again, what I want you to see is what is being described here in verse 22 to 24 is again sanctification. The idea of walking worthy of our calling is being described another way though. And the way in which he describes it is by the putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man. We all put off clothes daily and then put on new clothes, usually, except if you live in Europe. Sometimes they put off clothes every week. But we put off clothes often and put on. So we understand the idea of putting something off and putting something else on. What he's taking this metaphor and using it to describe sanctification is the idea of putting off an old lifestyle. The way in which you were walking in darkness at one time, putting off that whole lifestyle. But repentance is more than just stopping a past sinful lifestyle. It is a turning and going in a whole other direction and putting on a completely different life. Putting on the new man, putting on Christ. Now, after he has laid out this general principle in chapter 4, 22 to 24, he continues through the rest of the chapter showing you the application of this principle. Now, let's just take, as I already told you, here is the big grid that he lays down, and the rest of the chapter is an explanation of what he means by the putting off the old man and the putting on of the new man. Here in verse 25, he says, therefore, put away lying. So here's the putting off of the old man. But it's not just putting away lying. Then he says, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So, If lying is the way in which you are walking and living, and it was just the norm of your life, and you may think, well, surely there aren't people like that out there. You better believe there are. Lying is a very common sin. I know of some people that if they tell me they're coming, I have a very dear friend of mine, if he were to call me this afternoon and say, Wayne, I'll be there in a few hours, I wouldn't pay a bit of attention to it. Because I've learned since childhood that he basically lies nonstop. There are people out there that just lie all the time. It just becomes part of who they are. When you walk in something, it's pretty much the way you are. Okay, if this is describing you and you have been walking and lying and it's just the way you are, you need to realize now that you are sanctified, now that you are saved, a member of the family of God, a citizen of the kingdom, you're to put that off. You can't keep going that way. You're to put that off, and then you turn and you start speaking the truth to your neighbor. You be honest in everything you say, to where when people hear you, they will know your word is your bond. That if you say something will be a certain way, it will be that way as best as you can according to your ability. And if you say something happened, it happened as best as you can describe it, the truth the way it was. You speak truth. It is nice to be trusted. Continuing now in the same context, dropping down to verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer. Okay. You know, you need to realize that with some folks, stealing is just the way it is. It's just the way you survive. You get your daily bread by stealing it. And if you're going to survive, you got to break into people's houses. You got to go up in stores and you got to pick it up and steal it. You need to realize. You may think, surely people aren't that way. Yeah, they are. There's a whole lot of them. Just have a yard sale and you'll figure it out. People steal. Okay, if this is describing you, he says, but rather. Now, before we go any further, I want you to notice the very first word here, but. Here's the contrast. He's talking about the very beginning of the verse. You put this off and now you put this on. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. If you will not work, neither shall you eat. The Lord expects you to work. Any hard, honest labor is good. And whatever kind of labor you can find, do it with all of your might. This is the way in which the Lord expects us as children of light to acquire income to take care of our family's needs. And not only to take care of our family's needs, but he says that we may have something to give to him who has need. Not only to take care of ourselves and our family, but be able to be willing to share with others in the world around us who are in need. Work. He goes on further and he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now again, people who are in darkness, it seems that corrupt communication just flows out of their mouth. Have any of you ever worked out in the secular world with people who just cuss and talk vulgar non-stop? To where it just flows out of them. Boom, 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 boom. And let me ask you, by the way, when you're around that, do you cringe and go, get away, I don't want to be around you. Okay, good. If it bothers you, good. If it doesn't bother you, something's wrong. Do you speak this way? You had to realize, those that are members of the body of Christ, if you were to take a survey, you would find that there were times in our lives, possibly, when we spoke this way. When there was corrupt communication, whether it be cussing or lying, coming out of our mouth. Okay. If this is the way in which you walk, in which you're speaking, you no longer do that. You put that old man off. But notice where he goes, but. Here's the word but again. Now it's the putting on. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. But now you're sitting down and you're thinking about the words that are coming out of your mouth. You're thinking about how the words are going to be affecting people. You think, what can I say to help the situation? What words can I speak to them that are necessary to build them up and help them where they are? You see the pattern? Putting off, putting on. He goes on further. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You think people sometimes have a problem with anger out in the world? Again, that's the norm. You think people have problems with evil speaking, bitterness, and wrath? That's the way it is in darkness. If that is the way in which your lifestyle is, you are to put that off. Notice the continuation of the verse. And be kind to one another. Now here's the putting on. The putting on of tenderheartedness. The putting on of forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. What you're doing is putting on Christ. What you see here is the transformation of the Christian. We call it in one word repentance. Transformation. A change taking place, motivated by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind goes back to your accepting the truth, the Word of God, into your heart, letting it produce the faith. And it is that faith that you walk by and that faith that you live by. And as you walk and live by that faith, a transformation is taking place in your life. You're going from being a child who was in darkness and ignorance to, as you understand more of the will of God and submit to it, to being a child of light. Walking in the light as He is in the light. Walking worthy of your calling. I wanted to close out this series of lessons on the church because you need to realize that this takes up a large segment of the book of Ephesians. He talks a great deal in the very beginning about the church being God's eternal purpose, how the church is unique, how He wants the church unified. Yes. He goes on further and he talks about the metaphors describing the church, whether it be the kingdom or the body. All of these are metaphors describing the church. But a big chunk of Ephesians is dealing with now that you are a citizen of the kingdom, where all these wonderful spiritual blessings are enjoyed. Now that you are a child of God in the family of God, where this wonderful inheritance is waiting for you at the end of time. Now that Christ has separated you by obeying the gospel, you need to walk worthy of your calling. There is a lifestyle, a big change in your lifestyle that is expected of you as you commit your life in service to the Lord by faith. You can't keep walking in darkness now that you've obeyed the gospel. You can't keep the old man on now that you've been separated from the world. You are to put off that old man. You are to turn from walking in darkness and now walk in light and put on the new man. And in doing so, you are walking worthy of your calling. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning, though, who is not set apart from the darkness, you're still under the power of darkness, under the power of Satan, you're still lost. You don't have to stay there. You can be set apart from the lost. You can be saved by being a member of the body of Christ. The way in which you do this is by obeying the calling of the gospel. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing now to confess that faith, motivated by that faith, to repent of your sins, to put off the old man, to put on the new man? If you are, we'll be glad to assist you. And with the washing of water, baptism, your sins can be washed away.